the jar here. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ann Duffy. I'm Corporate Sustainability Officer with VANOC, the 2010 Organizing Committee for the Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games. And it's my pleasure today to share some insight into a program that is new for an organizing committee that has been the sum of a lot of input beginning at the bid phase of our bid for the Games, and now for the less than 7-year life cycle we have to make a material difference in this space. I'm going to start by just going back to when we won the bid, July 2nd, 2003. It was the sum of many discussions, many consultations with a variety of organizations and individuals who were very keen, particularly given our geography in Western Canada, to show what a sustainability platform would look like for an organizing committee. And so I'd like to begin with what our definition of sustainability means at VANOC. And I want to remind members of the audience here that that VANOC is the sum of our federal government partners, our provincial government partners, province of BC, city of Vancouver, resort municipality of Whistler, venue partner, city of Richmond, Canadian Olympic Committee, and the Canadian Paralympic Committee. We're a unique not-for-profit entity. We are in existence for less than 7 years, and I'll explain a little bit about the implications of that for making a material shift. But let's go to the definition of sustainability. For us, it means managing the social, economic, and environmental impacts and opportunities of our games to produce lasting benefits locally and globally. And I will also say that while the IOC has adopted their version of Agenda 21, a sustainability platform, in the mid-1990s, and previous host organizing committees like Salt Lake City and Torino and Sydney and now Beijing have put their hand up to make a real difference on the environmental platform, we're the first to put our hand up to say we're going to strive to make a difference not only on the environmental dimensions of the games, but also the social and economic. By taking those bid commitments early into the existence of our organizing committee, we've been able to weave in sustainability into our corporate vision and mission and really business strategy as a project entity. So our vision is to really build a stronger Canada whose spirit is raised by its passion for sport, culture, and sustainability. And such that at the end of the day that we can touch the soul of the nation and inspire the world by creating and delivering not only extraordinary games, but with lasting legacies and benefits. For our sustainability team, and really for the organizing committee, of which we're over, a little over 800 strong now, and we'll be about 1,400 by February 2010, at the end of our time in this effort, evaluation of our success will really be evaluated in three ways. One is to raise awareness and inspire action around what does sustainability mean in the context of our individual job roles and the organizations that we represent. But to also make a material difference, something that we can quantify and qualify as it relates to the games, and in so doing, help to enhance and build on the Olympic and Paralympic brands. VANOC's life cycle is one as a project entity. Unlike Adidas or Nike or Fairwear or Mountain Equipment Co-op and others, we only exist for a short amount of time. We're a project entity. We have a beginning, middle, and end. And that's important because it influences the decisions that we can make. There's some things that need to be buttonholed at a certain stage in the project cycle. Otherwise, we can't deliver excellence on time and on budget for our event. So it was really at that foundation phase in the beginning that we dialed sustainability, vision, mission, values, and our definition into our business plans. We worked with our 53 functional areas, which includes licensing and ticketing and other elements of the organizing committee, to determine what part different business units could take on to actually implement sustainability in action. And then, of course, we have our games time where we deliver the games time events. And then afterwards, we will be leaving hard and soft legacies, venues that will meet community needs for the long term, as well as new business processes that can be utilized not only in our region, in our country, but with many of our corporate and public and private sector partners long after we're gone. The sustainability platform at VANOC is a 6-point program. It includes accountability, which refers to how we track and report our performance in a legitimate and transparent manner. It also includes meaningful and ongoing dialogue with key stakeholders along the way. In addition, we have our environmental stewardship and impact reduction program looking at carbon and waste and biodiversity. We have a social inclusion and responsibility program that looks at typical things like health and safety and ethical business conduct and employee and workforce training and managing impacts with some of our target communities like the inner city and First Nations. We have a dedicated part of our platform that focuses solely on Aboriginal participation. This was mission critical as part of our bid phase as well. Our fifth element is economic benefits from sustainability, which I'll be going into details now. And finally, the connection between sport and the love of sport and influencing awareness and behavior change around sustainable lifestyle choices. I don't have time to go into all the details of that, but I just want to, for any of you that are interested, we produce on an annual basis a sustainability performance report. We have kind of a Coles Notes version, a summary report that's available on our website, as well as a more detailed version. And we're actually just undergoing some stakeholder engagement on our performance of our last year this month. So if any of you are interested, feel free to come and speak with me after at the coffee break, and I'd be happy to give you some details. So I just also want to point that under the accountability elements of our sustainability management and reporting system, we're building off a global, reasonably well-established process for tracking and reporting non-financial information, things related to human rights, social impacts, and the like, through the Global Reporting Initiative. And this is new for an organizing committee, but it's something that has become really best practice for many organizations that are really working in this area to say, well, how can we quantify and qualify and evaluate progress in this new area? As I mentioned, the fifth element of our sustainability platform, for which I'm going to go into details now, is the work that we're trying to focus on in terms of generating economic and social benefits through our Buy Smart program, which is really focusing on the stuff that we need to buy from our suppliers, the materials that we source through our sponsors, Value and Kind, as well as the materials that we, or the merchandise that we contract with our licensees. And our Buy Smart program is that collective effort that really focuses on integrating sustainability attributes into that, such that by games time, and certainly leading up to games time, we can point to examples of where a policy or an idea or a vision turned into action on the ground that people can see, feel, smell, touch, measure, and evaluate. So our Buy Smart program, why? Well, as many of you are probably already interested to know, the bid committee identified that licensing and purchasing and business development was really an opportunity for us to showcase how additional attributes could be woven into the brokering that would be involved in the financial fundraising and supply acquisition that would be needed to deliver our great games. And in addition, this would be a first for us to therefore move forward and develop what we call a licensee code of conduct and a sustainability procurement program. And just to make it easier to refer to, we refer to that collective as our Buy Smart program. The overall objectives of our program is not unlike many companies, but we're looking at value for money, we're looking at products that are durable, that are going to meet the need, be on time, on budget, and the like, but also risk minimization is really something associated with helping to support our reputation around doing what we can to cultivate and develop a transparent process, ensure regulatory compliance, move into this space of ethical sourcing, such that we can generate not only high-performance venues and operations to support these great games, but to increase the environmental, ethical, and social performance of Bannock supplier and business communities. In addition, we're really looking to show how, in a practical and meaningful way, we can demonstrate how innovation can occur as a result of taking this commitment on early in the project lifecycle of our organizing committee, such that we can point to where we've been able to generate and cultivate business with minority-owned businesses, enterprises in the inner city, enterprises that bring particular environmental benefits. We're also focused on looking for job opportunities for some of our priority communities, again from Aboriginal First Nation communities, as well as people with disabilities and some of our inner city residents. Ultimately, through the practicing of this, really for the first time, we'd like to generate a best practice model. It's really the first model for sustainability purchasing for the Olympic movement, which, yes, will become an example for future organizing committees and other elements of the Olympic movement to adopt and adapt to. And I'll just say that I flew home last night from Geneva and London, where I've had meetings with the London 2012 organizing committee, as well as the IOC, to really help explain where we're at now in some of the elements in terms of implementing our Buy Smart program. For some of you who've been in this space, we too pulled, and thanks to Tim Reeve and other advisors that have been with us from the get-go, was to look at some best practice models that were really important that we needed to build into our program, and that was that we needed to institute policies that would be supported by senior management. So we have one procurement procedure within the organizing committee, which includes the sustainability attributes. We have one licensing code of conduct program, which includes our social compliance program. And this is owned at the executive vice president level. So sustainability is part of the performance evaluation of all of our members that are involved in that work at our organizing committee. And then as typically with best management practices, we focus on internal training. We look at early opportunities that we can weave through our process along the way. And like any performance-oriented organization, we're developing metrics that we can use to track and report and advise ourselves as well as our external stakeholders on opportunities for continual improvement. So I'm just going to whistle through some of the elements that make up our BuySmart program. One is, after developing the initial architecture of the BuySmart program, the policies and procedures, we established a BuySmart steering committee. This is a multi-functional area representative group that really works to look at what's on our shopping list, what are the elements of the licensed merchandise that we're looking for, and where can we really make sure that key attributes are going to be woven into those decisions that we're going to be making. So this group was instituted last year and will be part of the project till the close of the games. It also includes our active engagement with key stakeholder groups like yourselves. Many of you in this room, I know, have been part of our engagement process last year. On the demand side of our BuySmart program, we've identified early high-value opportunities. And I would say these would be examples of where we can really make a heartfelt contribution into making procurement or licensing choices that we really want to showcase. In addition, we've woven in attributes and elements into our expressions of interest. We have a questionnaire, online questionnaire for suppliers to self-identify, so we can use this to help score some of the in the determination of who our final suppliers are going to be. We also work to finalize, once we determine what those sustainability attributes are, how they get woven into the ongoing contracting with our supplier and licensee so that we can ensure continual tracking and reporting. And it's with that information that we're focusing on continual improvement. And I just want to emphasize here that this is an important principle within our BuySmart program. Since this is new, we want to help build capacity with organizations that are going to live on long after we are, in terms of what are some of those business practices that would demonstrate good social performance and sustainability performance within their organization. On the supply side, we work with the 2010 Commerce Center. This is the Ministry of Economic Development's front store, if you like, that helps to notify the marketplace of what our upcoming shopping elements are. They also help with outreach. They provide business networking opportunities and coaching opportunities for potential suppliers. They also help broker smaller enterprises with larger enterprises so that small to medium-sized enterprises can compete and can contribute in the Olympics-related business. I also want to identify an NGO that we've worked closely with that's been tremendously helpful, and that's the Sustainable Purchasing Network, or buysmartbc.com, which is an ongoing NGO, of course, that can help entities, certainly not just like ourselves, but many enterprises in our region, to incorporate sustainability practices in their work. I know I don't want to dial up here. I won't go into all the details right now, but we do have a series of key performance measures, or performance measures that we focus on, where we're tracking the number and value of contracts let to Aboriginally owned enterprises, the number and value of contracts with inner city and local communities, the number of factory licensees that have audits completed, the number of factories for which we cease doing business until their operations are improved, as well as the number and staff of volunteers that come from some of our priority communities. So in addition to the tracking and reporting, I just want to say that given the building up that we were involved with in the last couple of years, we invested about a month and a half in some pretty intense stakeholder engagement last year with about 77 participants facilitated by the Sustainable Purchasing Network. And these participants were from representative organizations from labor, ethical purchasing, business, Aboriginal industries, as well as our own VANOC licensees, as well as gateway organizations, or organizations that can help enable business opportunities for some of our target communities, as well as special interest groups. And really, the focus of this engagement was to seek ideas for improvement on this new program we're trying to build for an organizing committee. And to really gauge what's possible to improve in the time that we're there, and to see also not only what advice can be given by these stakeholders for us to look at implementing, but what can some of these stakeholder groups do to help scale up some of the sustainability efforts and make a bigger success of the whole program. Again, these are just some spotlights in terms of key themes that the stakeholder groups proposed in terms of feedback to improve our program. The labor and ethical groups were interested in certainly initial support for the Code of Conduct program and had some suggestions on where things could be improved, as well as, and I won't actually list them all, just given all the time here, but I will mention that the stakeholder feedback is available on our website or available upon request. So for any of you that want to see the letter and the summary of, I think it was a total of 46 recommendations were made by the key stakeholder groups, 43 of which we've been able to implement or we're in the process of implementing, and 3 which we'll table to the Olympic movement to help advance beyond our sphere. So of those 46 recommendations, we're now implementing and refining this within our current program, and this is overseen by our steering committee, and we provided this feedback to our stakeholders this last February, and we'll be reporting on an ongoing basis, certainly for our next report now, which will come out February 2009, on some of the additional elements that have been implemented in our program to date. Some of the key learnings that we saw is that the success of this overall BuySmart program isn't just with the large multinationals. It's also with some of the smaller suppliers. And when we look for opportunities for enterprises in Canada, in Vancouver and Whistler and southwestern BC, there's a real focus on helping to make a material difference for some of these small to medium size enterprises as well. There's also acknowledgement that we're trying to figure out how an organizing committee can implement an aspiration within this unique construct of an organizing committee. And that while we have a limited time frame, there certainly are some things that we can do and that we can make a material difference in. But there's also some elements that we're going to have to pass on to future partners involved in delivering Olympic Games after us. Other successes of the program was that certainly it's been supported by the Bannock staff, many people like yourselves who really want to make a difference in their short job time with our job at the Olympics, but also to the level of engagement that we've been able to invest in with Aboriginal and inner city communities as well. And acknowledgement that our licensing program is setting a new standard for the Olympic movement. I'm now going to dive into the license, our ethical or our social compliance program with our licensees. And just on the right, I mean, as you all acknowledge, as do we, the key elements of our licensing code of conduct program focuses on respecting workers, the local natural environment, local laws, as well as Bannock's code of conduct. The licensee's role, when they want to play with us, is to first familiarize themselves with the Bannock code of conduct, fully disclose all factories and subcontractors to us, commit to continuous improvement. And this is important because this is new for many of them and for many of the entities that we work with, that there's a basic level of conformance with our code, but that as a result of ongoing annual audits, there's corrective actions that will be expected to be implemented, such that the overall performance of the licensees and their team of factories involved in producing product for us improve over time. The licensee also pays for the audit. We have a third-party auditor, Intertech, which is a very well-known international firm that has specialty in this area. And so we've developed the audit plan, the audit program. Intertech conducts the audits for us, and this is paid for by the licensee. Before the licensee is signed on to us, they have audits of their factories that would be involved in making product for Bannock. And as long as they comply with the code, we continue to do business with them for the life cycle of our project. On an annual basis, we have a spot audit, which occurs on an annual basis with each of the factories that are involved with our licensees. Our role on the Bannock side is to ensure compliance with this code of conduct, track and report our findings, which we disclose in our report, in our annual report, and build a bank of stories and examples of what we're learning and what we're hearing from the various participants in our code program. And like conversations like today, share some of the challenges and successes that we're having with you, the stakeholders, as well as the media, because this is new and complex business behavior. And just for any of you that are interested, we actually post our code on the website, on our website at www.vancouver2010.com. With all this feedback that we got last year, we've revised the language of our code. We've made specific reference to hours of work to better align with best management practices. We've initiated application of a code of conduct with our suppliers, not just our licensees. And we're ensuring that the audits are, as best we can, unannounced. And so each factory is notified that within a two-week window, Intertech will be there to do an audit on our behalf. To increase transparency on our auditing process, we make available our auditing program to anybody that's interested upon request. And also some of the other elements of the feedback that we got is, what can we do? There's things that we can control in terms of the licensing program with our licensees. But there's things that we can influence with our sponsors in terms of encouraging them and helping to facilitate greater understanding around what strong social performance looks like across our sponsors and partners. And I want to emphasize that Hudson Bay Company is our sporting apparel, both licensee and sponsor. And the rest of our licensees are actually quite small. Some of them are Canadian-based, and many of them also have operations worldwide. The other request from the feedback for which we're going forward, and it's an example of my recent trip, is to work with the Olympic movement. So not just our organizing committee, but future organizing committees like London 2012 and the IOC to help demonstrate and show and share how this can be done in a much more continual and robust fashion. And yes, we have some challenges, and these are ones that we're really grappling with. One is the request was for full public disclosure of our factory locations with our licensees and suppliers, mandating living wage for our licensees and suppliers, and mandating implementation of worker rights training and instituting worker complaint programs. So with the first one, a challenge with full disclosure of factory locations for licensees and suppliers. Our challenges are, and you can appreciate, because of the project cycle, some of our licensees were signed on as we were building our licensee code of conduct program. So there's some contractual constraints to go back and change the rules. Two is concern about competitive information. Because many of our Canadian licensees are smaller, they've done a lot of heavy lifting to find factories that can produce their product to meet not only our specifications, but those that are interested in leadership attributes. So they're not prepared yet to share that kind of what they would call competitive information. And from our point of view, we also want to ensure consistent supply of the product such that we can complete on our licensing agreements. In terms of mandating a living wage, while we certainly agree with this in principle, our challenge as an organizing committee, which really is alive and active, although it's a total of 7 years, the Sustainability and Licensing and Merchandising Program is really active for about 4.5 years. This is really difficult to measure. To figure out a living wage in all the countries where our suppliers and sub-trades would occur is heavy math. And as the speaker just before me mentioned, it's important for that to occur at a national level. We would certainly support that. And certainly it's something that we recommend, but it's not something that we can obligate at this stage. Finally, in terms of mandating or implementing worker rights training programs, again, for an organizing committee, we only exist for a short time, and so to develop resources to support this type of recommendation, again, while we would agree with it in principle, it's not something that we can do based on our technical and financial resources for the time that we exist. There's complexity involved, and there's ongoing expertise and servicing that would need to occur. And again, I would say that this is something that an enduring NGO or coalition of groups, this would be a space that would be very helpful for future organizing committees to help deliver on this. But it's just not something within the lifespan of our organizing committee to be able to take on ourselves. So going forward, we're going to continue to do engagement. As I mentioned, we're in it's engagement month right now for VanOck on our performance of our six-point platform, including our BuySmart program. We'll continue to monitor and manage our corrective actions, and we track and report on the progress of that in our annual report. And we continue with our dialogue with our suppliers and licensees. As I mentioned, we continue to have dialogue with the IOC in terms of what the ethical sourcing program could and should look like going forward. We are actively involved right now. I should mention we have what we call a sponsor sustainability initiative, and it's kind of the club of representatives from our international sponsors, our top sponsors, as well as our domestic sponsors, all of whom are very interested in this space as well, and looking at where they can flesh out their sustainability program. Many already track and report on a triple bottom line lens. Many already have ethical sourcing programs and they want to improve it. Some are doing some tremendous things working with Aboriginal and inner city and other more socially oriented programs. But they want to use this short time that they collaborate with us to enhance their program as well. So we'll use our influence to help support that. Such that finally, and there's been lots of statistics, and while we're not quite as large as the Summer Games, when we're going to have 3 billion people watching television during the Olympic and Paralympic Games, and we expect to have about 10 billion hits to our website for the duration of our existence, we really want to use this spotlight effect to demonstrate how an aspiration around sustainability can really turn into practical action on the ground, such that people can identify with that and that there can be legacies not only in Canada but also in business processes internationally. As a result of the work that we're trying to create. So thank you very much.